Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Rob Wolliver, Provost of the Waco and Williamson County campuses of Texas State Technical College. Hosting the conversation is Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of McLennan Community College. This program was recorded in the KWBU studios on August 20th, 2015.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Johnette McCowan, talking today with Rob Wolliver, provost of TSTC Waco and Williamson County. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Johnette.
Well, it's good to visit with you again this morning, like we do often. I don't know what we would do if we weren't partnering together to take care of education between the two of us, do you?
Absolutely. And you know, over the years, marking 50 for both of us, we've forged such a great relationship, not only between the two institutions, but I've come to know a lot of folks at MCC that I'm just glad to have as friends, you included.
Well, you know what, Rob? I'm really interested to know more about you personally. I'd like to know more about your family, your growing up, kind of what's influenced you. Would you just talk a little bit about all those things?
Well, I grew up in a small, it's not rural anymore, but was a small rural community when I was growing up in middle of Ellis County in Red Oak. Son of a football coach. My father was an educator and a football coach for many, many years. I never actually played for my dad. My dad was smart enough that before I got to high school, he figured it might be a better plan not to have be coaching his son. So I don't know if that's good or bad. There's times that I think that I've missed that might have been fun, but there's also times that I realize that, you know, when I was a mediocre athlete at best. The undue pressure that probably would have put on my dad. So. Anyway, grew up in a small community, just a small town country kid. A lot of my influences, a lot of my leadership styles, I think, come from athletics, because I've been around it my whole life. You know, when I was 6 years old, I was distributing vitamins in the locker room and picking up the tee after kickoff on Friday night. So I've been around athletics my whole life. So that's probably my biggest frame of reference in terms of interaction with people, teamwork, leadership style, that sort of stuff. I really get from that experience in the background. Both my grandparents we all lived rural. My grandfather was a cotton farmer and ran a cotton gin. My other grandfather was a rural mail carrier and ran a granary. So a lot of my early influences in life took place around a lot of old farmers and a pot of coffee and a set of dominoes, either in the gin or the granary one. I spent my formative years really with a lot of old wise farmers. That's some of my roots there.
Well, what about when you went to college? Tell me a little bit about what was that like? Where did you go?
Well, I went to Tarleton State University in Stephenville, and with the intention of, quite honestly, I told you I was a mediocre athlete. I probably was a mediocre student at best, too. I had dreams as a kid of going to A&M, and academically not prepared to do that. And so I went to Tarleton with the intentions of transferring to A&M. But, you know, after I got there, I quickly figured out that was a second home for me. And I loved it and loved the people out there, loved the environment, loved the culture. And so finished school, got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I intended to be a sworn commissioned peace officer, and decided when I graduated that, I wasn't quite through with that collegiate experience. And so went to work in a factory and went back to graduate school just because, didn't have any real obligations or responsibilities at that point, young in life, and could do that. And was fortunate enough that the relationships that I had built as a student opened some opportunities after I graduated. Wasn't really the things, I mean, I ended up in higher education not because of the things that I learned when I was in school or the things that I did, but quite honestly, because of the relationships that I developed when I was in school. And ended up working for went to work for the university while I was in graduate school. So that's kind of how I ended up in higher education. I was lucky enough. There were some people, and one of them who has passed within the last year that I considered, you know, one of my biggest influences and a mentor, Dr. Barry B. Thompson, who, as a young, you know, I was 21 years old when I graduated from college, took some chances on a young, dumb country boy that probably didn't deserve, but I'm certainly grateful that folks took those chances on me, because that's how I ended up in higher education.
Well, and you know, TSTC is going through a single accreditation because your title has been changed from president to provost, just because that's part of what's going on. And that is a really big deal for all of y'all to kind of be under one organization. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that means? Because to begin with, I believe y'all are the best technical college in the country. I mean, I have opportunities to see others, and you're doing great work, and I know this is just something else. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we, you know, brief history of that, you know, we're both celebrating our 50th, and the Waco campus was established, the first campus established in the system, with flagship institution, and over the years added campuses to our system. So we actually were a system of four independently accredited colleges. And we've become, and I appreciate the compliment, and I know you're sincere about that, because you do have the opportunity to see those all over the world, and I believe that too. I mean, but I have a reason to believe it, because I'm committed there. I appreciate the outside validation of that. Over the last 10 years, a huge growing demand from the workforce on technical institutions, and in Texas, us in particular, and being able to do more to provide the workforce, the skilled workforce that the labor market needs today. And so we've continued to expand. We now, across the state of Texas, between full service, what we're calling legacy campuses, and off-site teaching locations and branch campuses, we have 11 locations across the state of Texas. So a year ago, you know this as well, because y'all have experienced this as well, there has been a long-term declining trend of funding for higher education, and we've had to be creative and come up with other ways that we still meet those demands. And so about a year ago, our board challenged our chancellor to come up with a method by which we could continue to expand, continue to grow, and continue to serve the needs of the workforce all along while we're streamlining and being more efficient in the way that we do that. And with four standalone campuses, obviously there was a lot of duplicative efforts, you know, a lot of redundancies and things that we're doing that, if you look at from a purely business model, businesses wouldn't operate that way. So we've merged all of the four institutions that were separately accredited into one accredited institution. So we are now one single institution with 11 locations across the state of Texas. Now, not all 11 of those are full-service institutions. I mean, our legacy campuses exist in Waco, in Harlingen, in Marshall, and in Sweetwater out in West Texas. And then we've got satellite locations, you know, all over the state of Texas, two of the newest of which we opened in East Williamson County, in Hutto, which services all of East Williamson County, and the most recent was the North Texas Center, which is in Red Oak. And we have started construction. Well, we've started moving dirt anyway. Construction actually on the facility has begun on a new technical center in Fort Bend County, just outside of Houston. So we're trying to deploy a lot of those efforts to where the workforce, where the industry needs that workforce. And the best way to do that was to consolidate four individual institutions into one to allow us to serve a broader a broader population of the state of Texas in a more efficient manner, being a better steward of the taxpayers' money in which we're doing that, and growing the business, if you would, to be able to meet the industry needs.
Would you remind me about what some of your premier programs are? Everything you do very well, but I'd like to be reminded of what they are.
Well, obviously, here recently with the growth in the energy sector, there's been a high demand on our welding program. Students, welders are in a high demand, not only just in the energy sector, but in manufacturing all across the board in the state of Texas. Welders are in extremely high demand. Our instrumentation program, electronics and instrumentation programs are high demand programs. Mechanical engineering, industrial maintenance, those are just a few examples of those that are in extremely high demand. Sometimes those change depending on what the workforce is and what's happening. Sometimes a certain sector grows and we have a process by which we try to look at that, and we're trying to look down the road and forecast what those industry needs are going to be so that we do tailor our mix of students with our programs and our enrollment in our programs, so that we're trying to manage enrollment in those such that we're a good fit with what the workforce demand is going to be down
the
road.
That's very interesting. For those of you who are joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Johnette McCowan talking today with Rob Wolliver of TSTC. Rob, you know, something that's very fascinating to me is that it's both of our 50-year anniversaries, and I know that Murray Watson was very instrumental in helping it get started, and MCC basically started on the TSTC campus before we moved to our location. Would you talk a little bit about those early days and bring us up to date?
Well, you mentioned Senator Watson. He has been Murray has been a stalwart advocate for higher education, but for TSTC especially. Senator Watson carried the legislation that created the James Connolly Technical Institute. There were a little bit of history lesson there. You know, there were three local businessmen that upon the closing, the decommissioning and closing of the James Connolly Air Force Base, Jack Culgin, Harry Province, Harlan Fentress went to then young senator in the state legislature, Murray Watson, and said, "We need to do something with this." And Murray had the foresight to carry a piece of legislation that created the James Connolly Technical Institute, which is, 50 years later today, TSTC. And Senator Watson has remained a friend to the college, an advocate for the college. In fact, this last week at our summer commencement, we had Mr. Watson as our special guest, as an honoree. He was the recipient of our foundation's Central Texas Champion Award at a dinner we had this last fall. So we used this commencement to kind of celebrate Murray and thank him for all that he's done. You're right. It's unique that, you know, we're both celebrating our 50th, and in fact, MCC started at James Connolly Institute or Air Force Base as well, and y'all actually, you and I have talked about this, and we still there's still some question on how the timing all that went, but both of our first classes started within a couple of months of each other at the same location, 50 years ago for us this past April, and for y'all, that's quickly approaching to y'all's date for that, so.
Well, let me ask you another question, or have you talk about something. One of the things that we're doing together is Project Link, and I know I'm very excited about it, and I know you are. Why don't you talk a little bit? It's one of our great partnerships.
Project Link, it absolutely is, and I'm excited about what the results of that are going to mean both for MCC and for TSTC, but what's more exciting about that is what the results are going to mean for the community. For the greater Waco area and for the community that we live in. Project Link is a pilot project where we're taking a cohort of students from University High School and a cohort from La Vega High School. And thanks to the generosity of the Rappaport Foundation, a grant from the Rappaport Foundation to fund this project, we're embedding career college and career coaches into those two schools. And they've developed a curriculum where the cohorts, the students who participate in Project Link will be selected. And there's a curriculum developed of activities with the sole focus of being providing career coaching. I tell people some of it's pep rally, some of it's cheerleaders, some of it's kicking the tail when you need it, and some of it's going to be some hand-holding to provide the encouragement and the guidance and a resource to try to figure out a way to matriculate more of those students either to TSDC, to MCC, or Baylor, or whatever higher education institution that they choose to go to. But the ultimate goal is to take students who historically have not typically gone on to some sort of higher education and provide them the assistance and the encouragement and the avenues to get there. And I think we're going to see some good results of that. This is our first year, so we'll be working with cohort number one this fall, and it's a four-year pilot project, and we'll be measuring the success of that as we go along. But I'm confident and encouraged that we're going to see some great results of that. And we're going to see some young people who, because of their exposure, may end up in a different path of life than they would have been otherwise, which is only going to mean a better life for them and their families.
Let me ask you about something else. The BRIC is just very interesting to all of us, and y'all were very instrumental in helping kick it off. Tell me a little bit about what your involvement is with the BRIC, with Baylor, and how that's going.
We have a really strong partnership with Baylor, and especially in the BRIC. You know, the whole concept of being able to take technical technicians and match those with new and emerging business, high engineering, high science, high math businesses, and serve sort of as an incubator for the research part of it that Baylor does, the research and development part that Baylor does, that you combine that with our training of the technicians that folks need, and then you take highly emerging, highly sophisticated businesses that are trying to take a product to market. You've got all three of the sectors sitting in that same facility together. We stand to serve in that role as needed. So when there's a need that arises, they need their companies need certain training, you know, for that effort, we stand ready to go in and customize that and do that for them. We have a footprint there at the BRIC that we can use for that in the facility, and it's an absolutely wonderful facility. I mean, I know you've been there, Johnette, but if the listeners have not had the opportunity to see what has transformed from the former General Tire and Rubber Company, it is an absolutely amazing facility.
Thank you, Rob. For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Johnette McCowan, talking today with Rob Wolliver from TSTC. You know, Rob, what I'd kind of like to use our last few minutes is to have you talk a little bit about you as a role model. That's kind of difficult to do, but I hear you talk about your students. There may be some examples you can give, and I know about your commitment to your faculty and staff. And as leaders, we have a lot of responsibility. Would you talk a little bit about your leadership style and maybe some of the people on your campus?
Sure, absolutely. I mentioned early on kind of some of my background and coming from a coaching family and where I get some of or some of those lessons I learned along the way. You know, I believe in and a servant leadership model. You know, the my role typically is to serve wherever best serves the institution. That's, you know, it's from an athletic standpoint. You know, I can remember, this is you know, kind of corny cliche, but on the inside the locker room, you know, there was a sign that said there is no I in team. You know, we followed some of the principles. If people are familiar with Coach John Wooden, who was a famous basketball coach at UCLA, Coach Wooden wrote a book a long time ago called The Pyramid of Success, and that's been I've kind of used that all along the way. But you know, I believe in a servant leadership model. I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything that I hadn't got in and done first myself. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a private business owner, you know, you're usually the last one that gets paid. You got to make sure everybody else gets paid. When you're the older brother, you're the last one that gets to eat. You know, you make sure everybody. And that's just been kind of my style all along. We have at TSDC a very unique and important culture of servant leadership, and we see that across the board from faculty, from staff who serve in leadership roles, even though if you look at where their position may fall within the organization, you might not think of it as being a leadership position. And we're just really blessed, you know, that we have a team of faculty and staff that kind of embrace that whole servant leader model, are 100% dedicated and compassionate about our students. I mean, that's when we do tours, the most exciting thing is when people get to interact, people that don't know us, and get to interact with the faculty and see just how passionate they are about what they do and the students that they work with every day, and just how much that they care about them and making sure that they're on a path to, you know, to a better way of life once they leave us. And so that's really an exciting we're fortunate that the culture at TSDC is of that. We're very family centric. You know, we kind of think of everybody as we're all one big family, and we treat each other probably more as family members than we do coworkers. And so it's a great environment to work in.
We're talking about leadership today. Rob, what do you think is the most important character trait for a leader? And which one also poses the greatest threat?
In my mind, the greatest character trait is that of integrity. As a leader, you are only as good as the team that you have built. And typically you're the weakest link. If you've built a good team, you are the weakest link in that team. So I think you have to be honest. You have to be trustworthy. And you have to be able to, you know, you have to be, I think you need to be compassionate, because there are times, you know, that we find ourselves in a situation where, as a leader, you're vested with either a decision or a direction, and you've got to assemble as much information as you can and try to make the best decision you can, knowing that either some individuals or some groups of individuals are either going to be adversely impacted by that or just disagree with you. And I think you have to be, in doing that, I think you've got to be humble enough that your way is not necessarily always, you know, the right way, but also to communicate back out to those that when you've had to make this decision, you've had to demonstrate that sort of a leadership characteristic, that those who may be adversely affected or disagree understand why, and feel like that they can, whether they can agree with it or not, can at least understand the logic. But to me, that's all based on integrity. And character, individual character, is not necessarily reflected, you know, in the things that you say, or the things that you write, or items that may be, you know, in your character is defined by what you do, and what people see, and what, you know, what happens. Not in the public light, things that happen, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So for me, without integrity, and trust, your second question was the greatest threat. That is probably also your greatest threat, because oftentimes there are things that we do that, you know, I had a boss of mine a long time ago that gave me this analogy, and I've used this a lot. He said, when you throw a pebble into the pond, how many ripples do you see? And I'm like, I don't know, 10, 12. He said, no, so you're not waiting for the ripples to hit the bank and come back. And so it's sort of that same sort of thing. I know you know exactly this. We are completely, leaders are always being viewed and looked at. And there are consequences of actions or things that we do that may be unintentional or unimportant to us that we don't even realize we're doing, but that others pay attention to that. And so I would say that character integrity, while it's also the greatest trait for a leader, it's also probably the greatest threat, because we're all humans. I know I have done things that had unintended consequences that had, you know, either formed an opinion or caused maybe some harm to someone or hurt feelings that never was the intention and didn't know when I was doing it. So, you know, you have to think more than just a few ripples after that stone hits the pond sometimes.
Well, I know we in Waco are very privileged to have you here, and I'm very privileged to count you as a friend. Is there anything in ending that you would like to leave our listeners to hear?
Well, I would just say in ending, you know, we're trying to be responsive to industry. We're trying to be responsive to the communities that we live in, and we're trying to continue to grow and provide the highest quality of skilled technician that the workforce needs today. And we will and remain committed to doing that. I would certainly like to have a lot more exposure. I mean, I've been here, let's see, we'll be going on 25 years this next year, and I still run into people in Waco that are not sure or not familiar with all of the things that we do. So I would consider this a standing invitation. If you don't understand, don't have a full knowledge of what's taking place out here on the north side of town, consider this an open invitation to give me a call and come out and visit.
Well, I know that I am very impressed with what you do, the relationship you have with the public schools. You're doing dual credit in career and technical education. You've just been a pioneer in about everything that I know about that happens in Waco. So I feel like we're very fortunate for y'all to be here, and I appreciate what you do, and I'm glad that you're my partner and that we try to provide a seamless experience for our students as we provide pathways to careers from the schools up into technical education, and we even share students periodically back and forth. I've sent students to you, and I know Elton has personally brought students over to us when it was the right thing. So, well, thank you so much for visiting with me today, Rob.
Thank you, Johnette. I appreciate it. I'm as well glad to call you a friend.
This conversation was recorded August 20th, 2015 in the KWBU studios.